Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Send Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, and all your Memphis Grizzlies to the 2023 NBA All-Star Game in Utah this February. You can vote daily through January 21st at NBA.com or via the NBA app. Do your part, vote today, and send your favorite Grizz to the All-Star Game.
Morant with a running start. Elevates. Oh, it dunks. Oh, my goodness. Tie game in overtime. Gasol will turn his heat. It's gone. Memphis on top. 7 ticks remain. Conley now with three. Count it. A 15-point lead for Memphis. And Blake Griffin gets into it on the floor with Randolph. Hard to tell if there are any punches being thrown under there, but Griffin took exception.
Adams going long. Morant! Oh, he hit it! Ja Morant gets 70!
You gotta be kidding me.
Welcome to Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast. The first time in like a month, it's not a Grizzlies win edition on Monday. My name is Keith Parrish. The Grizzlies drop two games in a row over the weekend. They come frustratingly, tantalizingly close to getting a franchise record 12th straight win. They're ahead by 7 points with 3 minutes to go against the Lakers. They're up by five with 90 seconds left. They have the ball winning, assuming they're going to get fouled with, you know, just a few seconds left, but they lose that game. Disappointing, heartbreaking loss. You think perhaps a wake-up call. Okay, it's not all going to be super easy every night out. And then they follow that up with a game against the Suns on Sunday. Chris Paul makes his return after a long absence. Still no Devin Booker, no DeAndre Ayton, and the Grizzlies fall behind by 29. They furiously rally. They scratch and claw their way back, only lose by two. But now the Grizzlies have lost two straight after winning 11 straight. And there's a lot to sift through. Try to go through it all in the next, 30 minutes or so. The game against the Lakers, we were having a Grizzlies watch party in Nashville. Tons of people came out. It was super fun, except for the actual basketball. The basketball was ragged. It was kind of gross. The Lakers are a pretty competitive team. They really limited what the Grizzlies could do. Now, some of that, I don't know how much of that is you give credit to the defense or it's just self-inflicted. You're just missing your field goal attempts. Like, the Grizzlies struggled to shoot that whole game. The Grizzlies couldn't make layups. One takeaway from that Lakers game, it's so disappointing. You know, you're winning, you're ahead. We have these streaks we keep talking about where the Grizzlies are undefeated when they get ahead by 10 points. This is the first loss of the whole season. When they had a 10-point lead, they're up by 13 in the third quarter. I mean, they hit all their benchmarks. They scored 120 points. This is the second loss in the last two seasons when the Grizzlies score 120 or more. But despite, you know, getting that lead, despite scoring 121 points, I thought this was one of the worst games the Grizzlies had played all season. Clearly, they got destroyed by the Mavericks a few games into the year. They had a terrible game against the Suns. They had another pretty rough game against the Nuggets. Like, this was an abysmal game. Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, and Jaren Jackson Jr. were 22 of 69 on their field goal attempts. The Grizzlies set their season high for offensive rebounds against the Lakers, and that could be a positive, I guess. I take it as a negative. It's because the Grizzlies missed so many layups, missed so many short field goal attempts. Everyone on the team except for Steven Adams and Brandon Clark were 14 for 37 in the paint, basically right at the rim. They missed like 20 layups. At the watch party, we were talking about how it seemed like the rims were messed up because so many shots spun out. So many layups, so many putbacks you thought were going in, like they spun out. Ja Morant had 22 points against the Lakers, but missed 20 field goal attempts. 9 for 29 from the field. That's the second most field goal attempts Ja Morant's ever missed in a game. The most he's ever missed is 21. So this was not a well-played game by the Grizzlies. They only got 7 points off of turnovers. They lost the turnover battle against the Lakers, much like they lost the turnover battle against the Suns. The Grizzlies had 20 turnovers against the Suns. That is awful. Against the Lakers, the Grizzlies could not get transition opportunities. They finished with a season-low 4 fast break points. Against the Suns, on Sunday, there was a point, I'm not sure exactly when, but in the broadcast they're talking about it. I think it was into the third quarter, the Grizzlies had 5 fast break points. They finished with 11. But the Grizzlies not getting out in transition, not getting easy buckets. And as we know, the Grizzlies are not very good in half-court offensive basketball. They're not a very good shooting team. And so because of that, you struggle. Like, the numbers from the Lakers game are so bleak where it's really like, how did we do this? I mean, the Grizzlies missed 14 free throws. I mean, basically, it's Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark were awesome and nearly gave the Grizzlies an undeserved victory. Tyus Jones had 20 points on 9 field goal attempts, 20 points in 20 minutes of playing time, made 4 out of 6 three-pointers, only got 2 assists because no one else could make a shot. Brandon Clark had yet another perfect field goal attempt game, 7 for 7 from the field, finished with a 20-10 game off the bench. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal. Yes, unfortunately, he missed a potential game-tying free throw with 1.9 seconds left. Yes, of course, there was a lane violation, but those don't get called very frequently. The last two-minute report confirmed that. The last two-minute report also confirmed that Dennis Schroeder did not foul Desmond Bane. That was a great play by the Lakers. It also, to me, and maybe this is too picky, and maybe this is being too critical, it also seemed to me like a lack of attention to detail for the Grizzlies. Now, in the arena, at the game, maybe it would be impossible for the Grizzlies to observe this stuff. But on the broadcast, they were talking about it, and that Darvin Ham told the officials, like, hey, we're not going to foul right away. This is with the Grizzlies up by 1, inbounding the ball with, like, what, 8 seconds left or 13 seconds left or something. I mean, even before that, yeah, Brandon Clark had a great game. He missed a rebound. Him and Ja somehow did not pull down this rebound that was coming right to him with 24 seconds left. Westbrook gets that win and, cuts it to a 1-point game. But then the Grizzlies are ahead by 1, inbounding the ball on their half of the court. But Darvin Ham tells the officials, we're not going to foul right away. Don't be prepared to call a quick whistle like we want to send them to the line. We're not going to foul, give us a chance, basically, on defense. Coaches do this all the time, just to let the referee. Sometimes you tell the ref, hey, we want a timeout immediately when we get the ball. So they're prepared. When you get the ball, if you yell timeout, they're listening for it. They grant you the timeout. You get to advance the ball. This situation, it was, don't whistle us thinking we're trying to foul on purpose. We're not doing a take foul to send them to the line. We're going to try to play defense for a couple seconds. And they get a great trap on Desmond Bane, and it's a clean steal by Schroeder. So maybe there's no way that the Grizzlies could have known that, hey, Darvin Ham told the officials that we're playing for a steal before we take a foul. And the Grizzlies basically attempted this against the Suns in the final seconds. The Grizzlies played for a steal against Cameron Johnson. They eventually got a loose ball, but it was too late. The clock ran out on the Grizzlies in that one. But it felt like an inattention to detail in that final minute. And then, of course, the Grizzlies blow it. And, you know, there's mixed emotions where it was a strange game. The Grizzlies played terribly. It felt like maybe the effort wasn't there. I'm always loathe to criticize effort. It's, I don't know. They tried. They tracked down all their misses. Again, season high in offensive rebounds. They just couldn't. They couldn't get their shots to go down. Ja Morant struggled. Dylan Brooks kept struggling. Dylan Brooks was 4-for-17 from the field against the Lakers. Also fouled out. Also called Shannon Sharpe a regular pedestrian and a blogger. So those quotes are incredible. The whole Shannon Sharpe yelling, shoving, weirdness, screaming at T. Morant and Steven Adams. Man, playing in L.A. is just different. Obviously, a Memphis celebrity probably couldn't get away with that in Memphis. He's going to get tossed. But we don't have to act like also that Shannon Sharpe is a regular celebrity. He's a famous TV personality in sports. It was a weird situation. The Lakers got a huge win. And the Grizzlies, you know, get humbled a little bit. They keep talking, but they've struggled a bit. I mean, all teams are going to struggle on the road. That's just what happens. There's the old adage, you know, win your home games and win 50% of your road games. That's what the Grizzlies are doing. And the Grizzlies are still on pace for 55 wins despite both of these losses. But when you lose in such a dispiriting, disheartening kind of collapse in the final seconds, yeah, you feel pretty bad. When you miss 14 free throws and lose by one, that's tough. When you only make 9 3-pointers, it's tough. 9-for-29. Didn't even get a lot of three-point attempts. But then you think, again, or as a fan, you think, all right, they're going to rebound. They're going to fight back. They got a wake-up call. They're playing the Suns. We got to keep it up. We have to play harder. We got to play better to win. And they come out and post 37 points in the first half. They're down by 25. That's the biggest halftime deficit they've faced all season. It was 62-37 at halftime. They're not forcing turnovers. They're turning the ball over a ton themselves. They're not knocking down their shots. Their half-court offense is a mess. Just a brutal, brutal performance. Now, there is a second-half push. So what do we make of that? You know, we feel good that the team keeps fighting. They didn't put their heads down. It was the first night of a back-to-back. You're thinking, all right, are they going to pack it in? No, they didn't. They got a big spark from Zaire Williams. Zaire Williams with the 79-foot buzzer beater to end the third quarter. That's the longest field goal made in the history of the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm always intrigued how these distances are measured. Zaire was directly in front of the rim, you know, so it's a pretty easy straight line from where he is to the basket. But there's other times where there's longer shots in NBA history where the guys are further up the court but are over on the sideline. And, you know, because of, I guess, the angles. Math. Those are further as far as the tail of the tape. But I just think of like how far you are as far as like feet off the baseline. Like Zaire was, in my mind, he was closer to the opponent's rim than some other shots in NBA history that are technically longer. I don't know if that's making sense to you guys, but I was intrigued by it. But an incredible full court shot from Zaire Williams. He goes on to score 13 points in the fourth quarter. That's tied for the most points in a quarter Zaire's ever had. So Zaire has 16 points from you know, the last second of the third quarter to the end of the game. He had zero before then. He also had a bad game against the Lakers. But Zaire provides a little bit of a spark. The Grizzlies go with some super small ball. They have Desmond and Zaire and Dylan playing together this whole time with a single big. They play Tyus Jones and Steven Adams with Dillon and Desmond and Zaire in the fourth quarter, go on this 12-0 run. Then they finish the game with Ja Morant with the same four guys, Des, Dillon, Zaire, and Steven Adams. So this small ball works. If you remember for this season, small ball lineups where Steven Adams is the only big on the court have been very effective. I mean, Steven Adams had a pretty solid statistical game. Again, I mean, he posted a bunch of points and rebounds against the Lakers. I guess we can go back to that. So the Grizzlies obviously missed a ton of free throws against the Lakers. Some of it was Haka Adams. The Lakers were putting, you know, the Grizzlies on the line on purpose as part of their rally. And Steven Adams, you know, for the game had 16 points and 17 rebounds in 26 minutes, but he came off the court at the end of that Lakers game, because I think they were concerned about him getting fouled. He did make his final two free throws. Then they fouled Brandon Clark on purpose. Brandon Clark made his two free throws in a row. This is, of course, before Brandon Clark's final free throws of the game, where he missed one. But they took Steven Adams off the court, the Grizzlies did, because of the concerns about the free throw shooting, which is legitimate. You know, there is an argument, should he have been back in there in the final 2 minutes? You know, I don't know. I feel like when you have the lead and you're preserving the lead, it makes sense to me not to have Steven Adams and his 30% free throw percentage on the court. But the huge Steven Adams stands will point out, you know, we needed him to get some of those rebounds. The rebound that Brandon Clark and Ja Morant bungled that allowed Westbrook to get a put back and cut it to one, you know, Steven Adams probably gets that. No argument. He probably does get that. It's tough to make these choices. But anyway, against the Suns, they finished with small ball. Jaren Jackson Jr. did not come back into the basketball game in the fourth quarter. Jaren fought foul trouble in the first half, played the entire third quarter, and thus was going to rest anyways. I don't think they're going to play him, you know, 24 straight minutes, especially on the first night of a back-to-back. So the Grizzlies made the run with Jaren on the bench. It probably made sense to keep just doing what you were doing. Keep rolling with who you were rolling with. That's why Jaren didn't get back in the game. Also, this is pretty frustrating. We spent so much energy, you know, last week with Jaren getting all this national attention. It felt like finally for his incredible play, we spent all this energy being like the foul trouble's overblown. You know, he doesn't get in foul trouble that frequently. It's more of the aberration. It's the exception. Well, since then, Jaren's been in foul trouble constantly. And a lot of it is dumb fouls. Against the Suns, some dumb fouls. Him trying to set a screen and just trucking Sabin Lee. These are bad fouls. Those are the ones that Jaren just, you know, he's got to save them. His fouls need to be when he's attempting to block a shot. His fouls need to be when he's protecting the rim, not on offense. So that was discouraging to see. I mean, overall, Jaren's, you know, little streaks, they're all still going. Jaren now has blocked multiple shots in 17 straight games. Mitchell Robinson in 2019 had 29 straight games of multiple blocks, but Jaren continues his franchise record of most games in a row with multiple blocks. He also extended his NBA record streak to 13. This is including the Lakers and Suns game. That streak is now at 13 for most games in a row with a made three and multiple blocks. So like those streaks are still going, but it's pretty disappointing that his offense wasn't as big of a factor. He struggled, didn't score very much. I mean, only got 8 field goal attempts against the Suns and the Grizzlies overall, you know, their offense just let him down. I mean, going back to the stats and the things that we always cite, the wildest thing to me, maybe not the wildest thing, but one of the stats I was loving is the Grizzlies before the Lakers game were 29-2 when they score at least 110 points. Well, now they've lost two straight games where they scored 110 points or more. Also, as I bounce around, against the Lakers, the Grizzlies were called for a season-high 31 fouls. At the watch party, it did not feel like the Grizzlies got the friendliest whistle in that game. There were so many free throws in that game. I mean, yes, the Lakers were fouling on purpose some, but I think what both teams combined for like 80-something free throws makes a not pleasant viewing experience. Anyways, let's take a quick break, and then I'll be back Wrapping up my thoughts, talking a little bit about a trade rumor and going over a few more things from these two losses. Recently named one of the 23 best places to go in 2023, there's more reasons than ever to love Memphis. So enter the I Love Memphis sweepstakes today. One lucky fan will win the grand prize of a two-night stay at a downtown Memphis hotel, two tickets to a 2023 Grizzlies game, and more. Plus, winners will be drawn each week for Grizzlies tickets. So don't be a hater and enter before the January 31st deadline at grizzlies.com/I Love Memphis. Okay, correcting something I said earlier. I said against the Suns, Jaren only had 8 field goal attempts. He had 6 field goal attempts against the Suns. It was the Lakers game where he only had 8 field goal attempts. So that's only 14 total field goal attempts for Jaren Jackson Jr. the last 2 games. That is not enough. That is not good enough. In that Lakers game where they made 9 three-pointers, they fell to 7-10 on the season when they fail to make at least 10 three-pointers. They allowed 73 points in the second half against the Lakers. That's tied for the most points the Lakers have scored in a half this season. The 41-point fourth quarter, that's the most points the Grizzlies have allowed in a fourth quarter this entire season. Against the Lakers, Desmond Bane's 6-game streak of making 3 or more three-pointers came to an end. So D'Anthony Melton still owns that franchise best mark with 7 straight games. Against the Suns, Bane missed all 6 of his three-point attempts. That's the first game he hasn't made a three-pointer since the last humiliating loss to the Suns. Although, I guess this loss is not humiliating. I mean, on the one hand, getting down by 29 is humiliating. Being outscored 62-37, not great. But, you know, you lose by 2. It's one of those big-picture things where, despite it all, you lost 2 road games by a combined total of 3 points. And the Suns had Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. That's not a terrible team. The Grizzlies were favored by 8.5 points, which I thought was a really high line, which I might have taken advantage of. I am embarrassed to say. But like the Suns being 8.5 point underdogs at home was strange. Yes, Ayton was out, but I don't think DeAndre Ayton is that impactful on winning compared to like Torrey Craig having a good game, or, you know, Chris Paul and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson all being available. So, you know, losing by 2, big picture, not that big of a deal. Dropping a couple of close games, yes, the manner that they both happened, discouraging. But if you want to take like the 30,000 foot view, you're like, well, that makes sense. You know, you lose road games against Western Conference teams that are pretty good. That's certainly understandable. Also kind of unique or interesting, you know, the Grizzlies now have played 3 straight games that have been decided by a total of 4 points. The Grizzlies had gone 32 straight games, by my count, which honestly I could have counted wrong. But the Grizzlies had gone 32 games in a row without having a result that was within 3 points. Now they've had 3 straight. This season in games decided by 5 points or less, the Grizzlies are 6-5. They won against the Knicks on opening night. They lost at Utah when they were missing Ja Morant. They won at Portland. They lost against the Celtics in a game where they came back from a big deficit, much like the Suns game. They won at the Spurs in a 2-point game. They lost at home against the Kings in, I believe, a 5-point game. They won at New York, another game where they had a double-digit lead, let that slip away, but still won a close one. They won the recent game against Utah, and then, of course, the Cavs game, the Dylan Brooks walk-off blocked shot, and then they lost against the Lakers and Suns. By the way, speaking of the spread, the Grizzlies are now 2-6 in their last 8 games against the spread. In Dylan Brooks' last 8 games that he's played in, he has not shot the ball very well. If you've watched the games, that's no surprise to you. Dylan Brooks only making 32% of his field goal attempts in his last 8. He only made 22% of his threes in that time frame. Also, Conchar, by the way, in the last 8 games he's played, and he's missed a couple, but in the last 8 games John Conchar has played, 26% from the field. It's been 9 games since Conchar made more than 1 field goal in a game. Not 1 three-pointer, just 1 field goal, period. Conchar has been MIA. His first 20 games of the season, he was making 41% of his three-pointers, 1.7 threes per game, 8.4 points per game in 27 minutes. The last 22 games, he's 28% from three, averaging 0.6 made threes per game. That's in 20 minutes per game, averaging 4.7 points per game, making 40% of his field goal attempts. The Grizzlies have lost the minutes Ja Morant's been on the court in 5 of their last 7. That's not like a specific reflection of Ja. As a generalization, we can say that's just showing that the Grizzlies starters are getting outscored. But a negative plus minus for Ja in 5 of his last 7 games. He was negative against the Suns and Lakers, also negative against the Cavs, and then had a negative plus minus in the Spurs and Magic games. Against the Suns, Steven Adams had 8 offensive rebounds, finished with 16 points, also got 3 steals, made 4 out of 7 from the foul line, one of his best foul line performances of the season. Of course, as a team, the Grizzlies only made 70% of their free throws. That combined with the 65% they shot from the line against the Lakers, you know, when you say you lost by 3 and you missed 22 free throws in those 2 games, that obviously really, really hurts. Brandon Clark against the Suns, 4 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Also, by the way, Steven Adams, 3 for 9 from the field against the Suns. Yeah, Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. fouled out all the Suns bigs as Jock Landell and Bismack Biyombo got fouled out. But just disappointing games from the Grizz, and now they're back at it on Monday night, playing the Sacramento Kings, the Kings team which lost a tough game against the Sixers on Saturday where they blew a big lead. So the Kings are definitely going to want to find that winning form once again as they compete in this Western Conference playoff battle. I mean, the good news for the Grizzlies overall in their chase in the Western Conference for the one seed is the Nuggets finally lost a game where Jokic sat. They are 4.5 up on the Kings, who are all alone in third place. So that's a huge Western Conference clash on Monday night. Watch it on Bally Sports Southeast. But the 2 and 3 seeds in the West playing each other. I don't have the injury report yet for that one as far as whether or not anyone is going to be out. Like, you know, would Ja Morant sit out second night of a back-to-back? It's certainly feasible. But that remains to be seen whether Ja, Jaren, and Desmond suit up against Sacramento. And finally, a little bit of trade talk. Just because there's rumors. I'm hearing some rumors that the Grizzlies are legitimately interested in OG Anunoby. And yes, this is just a rumor, but this rises higher than like trying to think of the right news outlet. I won't say any news outlet, but like this is not just a made-up rumor. I don't know if it's a smokescreen, but other teams are concerned that the Grizzlies are possibly going to make a move to get OG Anunoby. At least they're monitoring the situation. OG is a guy frequently mentioned by Grizzlies writers, podcasters about a target for the Grizzlies. One of the reasons beyond just the fact that OG Anunoby is a good basketball player, he's one of the best in the league at steals. He's an okay shooter, okay scorer, but he's a great defender who can also score the basketball a little bit. He's not a good creator. Unfortunately, he has an ankle injury right now, so he didn't play the past couple of games. But one of the good things about trading for OG Anunoby, if you're the Grizzlies, is you don't have to trade away a huge salary so you can hang on to all of your core pieces. Like you could trade to match the salary. You could trade Danny Green and Zaire Williams and you're there. Would you trade Zaire Williams? Would the front office trade Zaire Williams for OG Anunoby? I don't know. I don't think it would be a Dylan Brooks trade. Again, despite Dylan Brooks' big shooting slump, just because I don't know if the Raptors would value Dylan Brooks to the same degree, because Dylan Brooks is an expiring free agent, or his contract's expiring, and they can't sign him to an extension. Now, there obviously is the connection of Toronto being Dylan's hometown team. Does that matter at all? Probably not. But I don't think the Grizzlies are going to make a trade for OG Anunoby and also lose Dylan Brooks, because, you know, I think you want to add more and more talent if you're going to make a push, if you're going to actually cash in some of your chips and trade for OG. Now, initially, like I said on an episode last week, I don't feel like this is a likely or probable thing. To me, the most likely course of action is the Grizzlies do, quote unquote, nothing and just bring Danny Green back, and you add Danny Green to this team. I don't think the results of the last two games change your plan. Like, oh, we lost these games, now we definitely have to make a move. These outcomes are not like outlier outcomes. You want to win, but you know you're not going to win all the time. But it seems like that the Grizzlies have been monitoring the Raptors situation closely, and they could really be into that deal. Now, what would it look like? What would be good enough for the Raptors? My guess would be, you know, Danny Green plus Zaire Williams plus probably two first-round picks. And that's probably the starting point. Probably you think the Raptors would want future picks, picks that are further out. They don't want the 26th, 27th, 28th pick for this year. Maybe the 30th pick. Maybe the Grizzlies finish with the best record. It's on the table. Do they want that Warriors pick for next year? Probably. Could the Grizzlies add more protections to it? Like, it's top four protected when the Grizzlies get it from the Warriors. Could the Grizzlies slap on a top eight, top 10 protection? Would the Grizzlies trade like the Warriors pick, or you can think about it, would you trade Zaire Williams and the Warriors pick and then like a 2027 top 10 protected for OG Anunoby? One of the drawbacks to OG Anunoby is he you hate to say injury prone, but he gets hurt. He misses games. This is not a guy who plays 70, 80 games every season. So, you know, maybe that makes it harder to cash in your chips. I don't know if they would trade for anybody else on the Raptors. They're like, the Grizzlies aren't a Fred VanVleet landing spot. I'd be surprised if the Raptors traded Pascal Siakam, but maybe they would. But anyways, it sounds like there's just a little bit of smoke on that one. Maybe the Grizzlies are just trying to drive the price up for other teams who are pursuing OG Anunoby. But heard some stuff that maybe the Grizzlies are legit interested, and so since the fit is really interesting there, I mean, of course, the question mark is, if you get OG and you keep Dylan Brooks, OG moves to the starting lineup, Dylan goes to a sixth-man role. It's hard to imagine Dylan Brooks in a sixth-man role, but maybe that'd be good. Would OG take a sixth-man role? Again, that's kind of hard to imagine. Would you close games with Dylan and OG and Jaren sometimes, 3, 4, 5? It'd be intriguing. I'd be very excited. If the Grizzlies trade for OG Anunoby, I will be very enthusiastic about that deal. I mean, it's a go-for-it move. And that's a little bit exhilarating. But we will wait and see. Anyways, do me the favor of subscribing to the Grits and Grinds YouTube channel. Also, while you're there, subscribe to the Fast Break Breakfast YouTube channel. Thanks again to everybody who came out to the Grizzlies watch party in Nashville on Friday night. That was really cool. Really awesome to see a bunch of Grizzlies fans hanging out over at Noble's Beer Hall. Anyways, I hope you have a great Monday. Talk to you soon. Go Grizz.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry.
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.